Good morning. So we're going to start off with a little video here, and I'll provide some commentary. And don't worry, this has direct application to the message here today. And don't tease me because, I'm like a 12-year-old. I do find humor in this sometimes here, but... Oh! So this is just a video, just kind of people... not really paying attention, right? So, I don't know if you've ever done this before. Oh, this was me as a child, okay? That wasn't really me, but it happened, right? This one's interesting. That takes a special... This last one's my favorite here. I can really relate to that one. How many of you guys can relate to this video? I mean, I can, all right? I remember showing up at a pizza ranch one time, and Ross is laughing here because he was there. He witnessed this. But I showed up to a pizza ranch, and we walk in, and in the corner there was an arcade, and they had Double Buck Hunter. I don't know if you've ever played that, but I love those games, right? And I had quarters in my pocket to spend. So instead of going to get pizza right away or go sit in line, I just start running over to the arcade. And little did I know that from floor to ceiling, there was a glass panel. And man, I hit that thing, you know, mid-stride, forehead first. And it was really loud. I didn't break it, but it was really bad. And the first thing that, you know, the whole restaurant, it's a full restaurant, they all stop and everybody just starts laughing, okay? And I was laughing too, because I love to laugh at myself. And the worst thing about it was there was an older gentleman having some dinner there with his family, and I was a little concerned he was going to have a heart attack because he was laughing so hard. But how often are we caught not really paying attention to what is going on around us in our life? And life just kind of smacks us in the face. You know, we're looking down, we're not paying attention, and we walk into the glass window or whatever. So every moment we come to a fork in the road. Do we follow the path of wisdom or do we follow the path of folly? And for most of us, the path of wisdom isn't real clear to us, right? We don't always know. We weren't born with this special skill set of knowing exactly how to do everything, right? So we just go on floating along with the current of the culture we're surrounded by, and we suffer for it, right? And we suffer in the form of failed relationships, a lot of wasted money, and sometimes broken bones, right? And if we listen closely, if we listen really closely, we can hear laughing, right? And we can hear the mocking, okay? Is it the cruel world that's laughing and mocking at us? I think it would be a little bit easier if it was, because that tends to fade away. No, Scripture tells us it's wisdom and prudence that is laughing and mocking at us. So I've got a passage here. I forgot to write this in my notes. If you want to go to the next... Okay, so this is Proverbs. It says, "But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I, as this is wisdom speaking, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you." So if we pay careful attention, we can see that our choices have steered us into a life that is not the way that it should be, right? Not what we really desired, okay? I'll just introduce myself real quick. I'm Cliff Plamister. I've been attending Stonebrook for about 20 years. I came to Iowa State in 2000 and got involved at Stonebrook in 2001. And I'm happily married to Naomi, and we've got 6 kids, so you'll see them running around, and I work full-time down in Des Moines. And I teach part-time at Iowa State as well. And so I've been around here for a long time, but my freshman year, when I first started coming around, was pretty typical, okay? It was a lot of partying, a lot of drinking, a lot of fooling around. And in God's love and kindness, at the end of my freshman year, he began to show me the emptiness of my debauchery. And I began to listen, and I could hear the laughter, I could hear the mocking. And because I could sense that my life was not trending towards the peace and the joy and the freedom that the culture was telling me I was going to find in those things. You know, MTV was big at that time, right? And that's what MTV tells you to do. Go party, go drink, and that's where you're going to find life. And I was not finding life there. Scripture tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And again, Scripture tells us there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. It was so important. He copied and pasted it, right? Two times he shares that verse. And how true is that for us? We believe that we know the right way, but it turns out that that way ends in death. Unfortunately, at the end of my freshman year, God began to draw me back to himself. And one of the verses that I latched onto was Jesus' promise. He says, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." I don't know about you, but I'm a selfish person, and I want to have a full life. I love living life to the max, okay? And Jesus promises us that we can have a full life. But God is aware of our foolishness, right? He's aware of our depravity. And he knows that we don't know any better. He knows that we're going to trend away from a full life and we're going to trend towards sin. We're always going to go that way. And he knows we're not born with a skill set that seeks out wisdom all the time, that seeks out his way, the fear of the Lord, right? But in his mercy, he shows us how to live lives that are full of joy and peace and freedom despite our depravity. And he could have just walked away and turned his back on us. And he would have been just and right in doing that, right? But in the immensity of his grace, he saved us, and then he gave us wisdom and knowledge in Scripture, and he taught us how we should live and how we should love. And Jesus was pretty explicit about how we love him, right? He says, if you want to love me, you need to obey me. That's how you love me. And oftentimes, we as sinners, I remember reading that sometimes and thinking, obedience, okay, great, and this is when I'm first coming. And I say, honestly, this still happens to me sometimes. I don't want to obey. That seems boring. You're restricting my freedoms by telling me that I can't do these things. I know a better way. I think that sometimes. I know a better way. But when we obey and we follow the way of wisdom, we really find freedom in that, right? You see, God, he wants us to live in joy. He desires good for us. Practically speaking, God gave us the gift of wisdom and knowledge so that we can walk in this joy and this peace. All of the commands that he gives us, all of the proverbs that he gives to us is because he loves us. And he wants us to experience a wonderful life, to experience joy and peace. Maybe not, life can be difficult, right? But he wants us to experience joy and the peace in the midst of life. And these proverbs, they're gifts that are individually wrapped gifts from God. And he's saying, here, take this. If you read Proverbs 1 through 8, it's a father pleading with his son, please, please, follow the way of wisdom. It is, and here's what's going to happen if you follow the way of wisdom. He casts a vision for a great life if we follow that way. And he warns us against the path of folly, doesn't he? And he also tells us tells us what's going to happen if we follow that path of folly. And in my 20 years really of studying Scripture and then trying to walk in it. And more and more, I really believe I walk in the joy and the peace that Jesus promised to us. But this wisdom didn't come from just this little voice in my ear. That's not where it comes from. That wisdom comes from Scripture. And that wisdom has come through the voices of men and women who are following the Lord, and they're much wiser than I am. they had been given these gifts of wisdom and knowledge from others, and they've passed it down, and now I'm reaping the benefits of that, right? But I had to seek it out, okay? We have to, as Christians, seek out this wisdom and this instruction. Proverbs reminds us of that over and over, that we should seek it out like it is hidden treasure. So what I want to do today is I just want to spend some time sharing with you what God has taught me through Proverbs and the counsel that I've gotten, and share some of these things with you guys. How many of you guys like to win? I like to win, okay? I'm not real competitive. Some of you know me, I'm very competitive, but I'm not competitive at sports ball things, you know, basketball and baseball and things like that. But I get really competitive with myself. I hate the idea of losing at my marriage. I hate the idea of losing at parenting. I hate the idea of losing at work. I have this fear of looking like a fool, and that's a terrifying thought to me. And I remember when I was first coming around again and studying scripture and doing Bible studies, and I remember reading this verse. It says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." And it was this whole new world was opened up to me. Here it is, right here. If you want to succeed, go get counsel. And Proverbs tells us again, over and over again, if we don't, we're going to lose, and we're going to suffer the consequences. So Proverbs says, "And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, 'How I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ears to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Or more succinctly and explicit, I'm going to go back to this verse. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. So we don't always know the way to go, but we must be prudent and we must consider our way. We must ask ourselves. We need to start paying attention and start asking ourselves over and over again, what is God's way forward with me? Because I know if I choose this path, it's going to yield the favor of God. But if I don't choose this path, it's going to yield the wrath of God. And we're going to suffer for it. And I believe, as I was studying this, I kind of came up with this that we suffer for two primary reasons, okay? We suffer first because of our own sin and our own stupidity, right? And unfortunately, I truly believe that we cannot live in joy and peace while we're living in sin and our own stupidity, okay? The other place that suffering comes from is God's providence. God says that he's going to discipline us and that we are going to suffer, and that that suffering is good for us. He's going to train us in righteousness, right? And I believe that in that suffering, in God's providence, that we can live in joy and peace and freedom. It's challenging. It's not easy, but it can be found there, right? And the beauty of the gospel is that we can repent from the first point. As Christians, God has forgiven us. He's redeemed us, and he can make right what we have wronged. I believe he can provide a ladder to us to help us get out of the hole that we've dug ourselves into. Okay, and to put this more bluntly, I put my PowerPoint or my graphic designer skills to great use. And this is I think this is kind of a great quote. This is John Wayne. Well, he maybe really didn't say this, but I could see him saying this. It says, "Life is tough. But it's tougher when you are stupid." Okay? Life is tough. God told us life was going to be tough. But he's also told us it's going to be tougher when we're stupid, right? So the goal here is to try to not be so tough, or something that's not be so stupid, to walk in the way of wisdom, right? That's the goal here. Okay, so we need a wisdom to avoid pain and to endure the trials. So where do we find this wisdom? Well, I believe there's a few places, four places I'm going to talk about today that we can get wisdom and instruction. The first place is from Scripture, okay? It is the foundation of all wisdom and instruction and the fear of the Lord, right? Any practical day-to-day wisdom that we're looking for must be rooted in Scripture. Okay, the second place that we can get wisdom is by asking the wise, is getting counsel, right, from others around us. I think the third place then is observing the wise, watching what successful people are doing, those who are walking in the fear of the Lord. What are they doing? What decisions are they making? And I can learn from that. And then the last is to observe the suffering of those who are making foolish decisions. I know I've learned a lot from people, and they've helped me avoid a lot of pain in my life by just kind of watching and saying, oh, man, that decision really hurt. I better not do that, okay? So let's start with Scripture. So first, I believe we have to counsel with the Scriptures. And the only way that we can counsel with the Scriptures is to be in it and to try to be in it every day. We have to immerse ourselves into it. We've got to dig deep into it and study it. We need to be reading the stories from the Old Testament and examining the good and the bad behavior of all of the heroes. And we should compare our own behavior to theirs. Okay? And to say, wow, okay, here's David pouring his heart out to the Lord. Maybe that's something that I should be doing in my life right now. I'm going through a difficult situation. David was going through a difficult situation. I'm going to follow his example. Okay, the next place we can go is Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, right? There's a lot of really great small nuggets of wisdom in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. You know, I like to think that the guy who set up the original calendar, the monthly calendar, however many thousand years ago, said he's reading Proverbs, and he's like, wow, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up 31 days in the month, every month, so that each day I can read a proverb. And that way I'm studying it over and over again. Okay, I completely made that up. But I want to encourage you to read, there's 31 proverbs, so it works out great, to sit down and to read a proverb every day for the whole month. And do that for a few months in a row. Add that on to your regular daily reading. And the blessing that will come into your life as a result of that is so huge. I've done that so many times over the last 20 years. And it's just, you start to sink in and you start to memorize these proverbs and they come to mind as you come to these, you know, important decisions in your life. So I encourage you to read the proverbs every day. And we should read the gospels, right? And we should watch, we should counsel with Jesus and say, Jesus, how are you dealing with this? How are you dealing with this difficult situation? How are you dealing with your enemies? I need to follow your example. I need to imitate what you're doing. And then we should read the letters in the New Testament and go deeper in our understanding of our sin nature and how we can grow in our walk with the Lord and how we can fear the Lord. There's just so much wonderful wisdom and instruction in Scripture. And so that's the first place that we have to go for wisdom. Okay, but there is some danger in reading Scripture in isolation, though, right? I don't know how many of you guys have ever read your Bible by yourself and you read a story and you misinterpret it, or you just misread the verse. I know that's happened a number of times in my life. And by God's grace, I was able to say, hey, go to some friends and say, hey, this seems really odd to me. Is this what Scripture's really telling me to do? And they say, no, Cliff, you read that, your Bible is upside down. You're reading this backwards, okay? This is what Scripture is really saying, and this is how. So we need to surround ourselves with other men and women who are wiser than us to help us understand what Scripture is saying so we can apply it appropriately in our life. So who do we study Scripture with? Proverbs tells us that we should surround ourselves with good counselors to learn from. It says, Proverbs says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Okay. After my freshman year, I looked down at my GPA. And at that point in my life, that was really the only metric I had to determine whether I was succeeding in life or not, right? And I looked at that at the end of my freshman year. I thought, I am not succeeding right now. I've got to make a change. And so I had to recognize, I had to turn around and look at, I was living on a dorm floor, right? And I had to, boy, these clowns that I'm living with, they just, all they want to do is drink. All they want to do is play video games and be lazy. They don't want to study. Literally half the guys on my dorm floor failed out after the first semester. Okay? That was the dorm floor. That was the culture that I was in. So I had to make a decision. If I'm not going to fail out of college next year, I've got to surround myself with some people who know how to study. So I ended up joining an engineering fraternity, and they taught, these guys taught me how to study and to be diligent, and my GPA went a long ways. And at this point in my life, I'm starting to get involved with the church and getting involved with the Rock, and I had to look again. I said, boy, these guys at this fraternity are not really helping me walk in the way of righteousness. Okay, they're kind of the companion of fools again here, right? So I had to make a hard decision again, and I had to find wise men and wise women to surround myself so that I could grow in my walk with the Lord. And so I ended up dropping out of that fraternity and moved into the dorms again so I could be with my small group from the Rock. So I encourage you to stop and take a look around at the people you're spending time with and you're hanging out. Are these people helping you succeed in your walk with the Lord? Are they helping you to walk in righteousness and in fear of the Lord? And if they are, dive deep into those relationships. Spend more time with those people. Okay, great blessing will come into your life. But if they're just fun and easy to hang out with, I'd suggest that you run. Okay, you will suffer harm if you don't. Obviously, we have to remain in the world to reach this world, but who we spend a majority of our time is going to, it's going to have a great influence on our walk, okay? And I've found over the years that I really need to go, I needed to find a number of wise men and women in my life that I can go to for good counsel. And I got a list up here, and some of these counselors, so this is a list of my wife, my parents, Doug, Larry, some guys at work, Brad, Dan, Ross, those are guys in my community group. And I've tried to dive really deep into all these relationships because I can take a step back and I can look at their lives and I can see that they're succeeding in these different areas. Okay, and whenever I come to a point where I have a question or I'm not sure what to do, I go talk to some of these people. And sometimes if it's a small decision, maybe I'll just counsel with one or two of them. But when it's a big decision in my life, and I'm at the precipice of a decision that's going to have a major impact on my family or whatever I'm going to be doing for the next 5 to 10 years, I'll sit down with all of these people, and I'll ask them all the same question. And what that I've found is over the years, is what I'm able to do is I get all this counsel, and they're all different people. And sometimes the counsel that I get from them is completely opposite when I'm at the precipice. But having this group of counselors, I'm able to kind of average out all this counsel from everybody and find the best path forward for me and for my family. Proverbs says, without counsel, plans fail. Go back to one, sorry. I should have cued you on all these. I'm sorry, Doug, this is my fault. But with many advisors, they succeed, okay? With many advisors. So I'd really encourage you to go out and find a lot of advisors that you can go and counsel from. I can tell you the impact that these people have had on my life is enormous. And I believe Naomi and my children are reaping the benefits of that. Okay. All right. Okay, so the other thing about counseling with all these people is that they get to know me really well. So Proverbs says that the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Okay, I found this to be really true. Many of you guys know Doug Brinkman. And for many years, I have sat and counseled with Doug for hours. Okay, hours. We love to go on long car rides together so we can sit there and counsel with one another. Well, over the years, Doug has really learned a lot about me. He knows my strengths, he knows my weaknesses, he knows my proclivity to sin, and as a result of that, he's able to draw out what's really going on in my heart and really provide the best counsel, because he knows. It's not like I'm just some stranger coming up to him and asking for some little bit of wisdom. No, I'm coming up to somebody who knows really almost everything about me, and he's able to speak very clearly into my life, and it's been, again, it's been a great blessing to me. Okay, so we also want to be careful that we do not surround ourselves with people who will only tell us what we want to hear. Paul warned Timothy about this in 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Okay? How often have you gone and asked for advice from somebody knowing they're going to give you the answer you want to hear? Okay? First of all, we see this in children. If any of you have children, they are very good at this, right? They know which grandpa or grandma or mom and dad will give them candy on the first request, right? And they know which one's going to tell them no, okay? That's just in our nature. And as adults, this can play out too, right? You know, let's say you really want to buy a boat. All your friends have a boat. Okay, and boats are really fun. You can go skiing. You can do all these wonderful things. You don't have a lot of money in the bank, but man, are those other people having fun. Okay, so you could go get counsel. You know, okay, you listen to the message on Sunday. Cliff told you to go get counsel. So you go over to Bobby, and Bobby's got a boat, right? So you go, hey, Bobby, should I get a boat? Yeah, you should get a boat. Boats are a lot of fun. There's a really good deal on them down the street. Go buy a brand new one. It's a lot of fun. You really think so? Is that a wise decision? Yeah, you should do that. Okay, great. Well, God, I got counsel. Bobby told me to buy a boat. Okay? I'm walking in the way of the wise, right? Okay, so we don't want to just ask people who are going to tell us what we want to hear. I was talking with a friend the other day, and he reminded me that oftentimes when he goes and gets counsel from people, the answer is no. No, I don't think you should do that. And we kind of were chuckling, how boring is that? That you always get no, right? And I asked him, has that been good for your life, though? He said, oh, absolutely. That's exactly what I needed to hear at that time was no. So why is that? Why is it when we go and ask for advice, the answer is usually no? It shouldn't come as a surprise to us. Okay, we are broken people. We're living in a broken world that is feeding us a constant diet of broken counsel. Okay, no wonder we always come up with these half-baked ideas. Okay, so we need men and women around us who will love us and who are willing to say, no, that's a bad idea. You shouldn't do that. Why don't you consider this? Why don't you walk in this way? I don't know how many times Doug told me not to buy a motorcycle, so thanks, Doug. Okay, so the next place that we can get wisdom is observation. Okay, just observing the behavior of the wise. Okay, the discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. And I've tried to do this over the years of just sitting down and watching men who are succeeding in their marriage and are succeeding at parenting. And what are these guys doing? I just want to sit with them and I just want to watch them. I want to watch them interact with their wives and with their kids because they're doing something right. And I can catch from them. I can learn from them how to love my wife and how to love my children. And we can also kind of learn from their failures too, right? So one of my favorite stories, I have this vivid story from my childhood, and I didn't warn my mom and dad are here, and I didn't warn them about this tonight, but I have this very vivid story of kind of learning from my dad, maybe something that wasn't quite so wise, but we lived in this older home, and it was built in 1914, so it had no sump pit in the basement. So we get water in the basement all the time. My dad, being the handyman that he was going to install a new sump pit in the basement. So he goes out and he rents a concrete saw, and he goes into this tiny little cellar room, and he shuts the door, you know, to keep the dust confined. And so he cuts the hole in the slab, and that was all he did was shut the door. And little did he know that, well, we knew that there's lots of holes in the door, you know, in the walls and everything. And that concrete dust went all over the entire house. And if you've ever tried to clean concrete dust off of anything, when you kind of wipe it off, it kind of scrapes everything off, right? It kind of scratches everything. And I can tell you, I remember my mom was not real happy with my dad. And I remember from that, okay, Cliff, if you ever cut concrete in the basement, you need to do a really good job of covering everything off, sealing everything off, so you don't make your wife really mad at you, okay? Right? And so I've tried to do that. I'm not always perfect at that, right, Naomi? You know, but I've tried really hard over the years to please my wife by not making too big of a mess. But we can watch both the success and the failure of people and learn from that. Okay, the next place I think that we can observe people is just through reading. Okay, so we can watch the lives of people that are in front of us, but we can also read. Okay, we can read scripture and we can observe the counsel or we can observe what's going on there. I love reading about David, right? And again, how did David handle these situations? He's got this whole army chasing after him. He's in a most stressful situation in his life. And what did he do? He turns to the Lord and he cries out to the Lord for help and for peace. And I've learned from him doing that. Okay, stressful situation. Go to the Psalms. Cry out to the Lord. And I can also learn from David about his foolish mistakes too. Okay? I've learned from him that it's not good to commit adultery and then go murder the husband of that of your mistress, right? A lot of pain and suffering come as a result of that. Okay? I shouldn't do that. Okay? I also think that we should read biographies of missionaries and our great leaders throughout history and learn from them and sit there at their feet. It's like we get to sit at their feet and learn, observe what they did. I just read this biography on General Douglas MacArthur in World War I and World War II and the Korean War. And I learned a lot from that man. You know, I learned how to lead, some of the things about leading and how to you know, push through adversity. But I also learned, and the other thing I learned from him is how to bring the gospel into a secular world. I was pretty astounded by that. But I also learned from him what not to do and how pride and arrogance can really damage your relationships with the people that you're around. And so we can learn from these men and women. We've all heard the phrase, more is caught than taught, right? So we just want to spend time trying to catch the good from wise men and women around us. Okay, so that's really where I believe we can get wisdom. The next, I want to talk real briefly on giving counsel. There's the flip side of this coin, right? We want to go out and we want to get counsel, but hopefully as we're growing, younger generation starts asking us and they start coming to us for counsel. And Proverbs gives a lot of wisdom on how to give counsel. Okay, so the first thing Proverbs tells us that as counselors, we must be honest. Okay, and this can be a really hard thing when somebody comes and asks us a question, you can tell they really want to do something. You know, I remember when I was in college, we were always counseling with one another about, hey, should I start this relationship? I really like this girl. Should I go start, you know, should I go ask her out? And we had to learn how to be honest with one another and say, hey, no, that's probably not a good idea for you right now. You're still kind of a clown. You know, you need to grow up. You need to learn to tie your shoes and clean your bedroom. Okay, so Proverbs tells us, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And this, how many times have my counselors wounded me for my good? They have saved me so many times from walking into bad relationships, from starting a stupid business idea, or from buying some expensive thing that I really didn't need. Okay? Again, thank you, Doug. He's over there laughing. Many times, Doug wounded me. He loved me very much. And I'm so thankful for that he was willing to be honest with me and have those hard conversations. So we as counselors, we have to be bold with one another. Okay, we have to be willing to hurt those that are coming and seeking counsel from us. Okay, the next thing as a counselor we need to be doing is we need to be, I got ahead of myself, hold on. We need to be gentle, yes. Okay, we need to be kind and gentle, and we have to recognize the power that we have in our words. Okay, Proverbs says, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Okay, we've got to be slow to speak. We have to peel the onion. We can't just come in there guns blazing, trying to wound the person that's getting counsel from us, right? We have to love them, and we have to slow down. We have to listen to them and really determine what's going on. Oh, I think I skipped something here. I apologize, so I'm just going to skip through that. So the next one is we need to, as counselors, we need to listen. All right, so if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and his shame. Okay, so as counselors, we really have to grow in the skill of listening. Okay, that can be hard. We have to be slow to speak. We have to peel the onion. We have to try to get to the heart of what's going on. What is the real problem? What is the thing that the person's really trying to seek counsel on? What's the real desire here? I was reading a book a little while ago, and this author was talking about how in marriages, you know, the wife will come and there's maybe a challenge, and so the wife comes and starts sharing, you know, a problem with the husband. And we as husbands, what do we love to do? Solve the problem. The first thing out of the first problem we hear out of that, it's like, okay, I got a solution for this. Just stop talking. I'm going to take care of this, right? And then, you know, then our wives usually say, well, no, I just really wanted you to listen, okay? And this guy, this author was talking about how we as humans, we have to verbally process because our hearts are deep. We don't always know what the problem is. So husbands, if you really want to be a good husband, you need to sit and listen and wait for the real problem to draw itself out. Let your wife talk through. I've learned this. I'm learning this, right? I'm in that act of learning this with Naomi, of to not solve the problem, to wait. And sometimes there is no problem. She just needed to talk. And sometimes we get to the end of the conversation and we identify that the real challenge has nothing to do with the first place that we started, right? And so once we've kind of gotten there, then we're able to help one another. And I can solve the problem. You know, she just wanted me to fix the toilet. That's all I really wanted. Okay, I'll fix the toilet now. Okay. Okay, so where do we go from here? All right, so to close. Next one. Okay, yeah, so where do we go from here? Okay, so this is kind of the practical steps I wanted to encourage you guys with. Okay, the first thing we have to do to get wisdom, to get counsel, we have to humble ourselves, right? And we've got to sit and listen for the laughter. We've got to sit and listen for the mocking to find out where we've gone wrong, okay? And then we've got to repent from that, right? We've got to repent from our sin. I think we need to repent from our stupidity. And then we need to get into the Word. We need to get into the Word. We got to go to the Word and find out, okay, what does Scripture say I need to do here? How can I live this life of peace and joy and freedom? And we get into Scripture, and then we need to go out, and we need to find those who are succeeding, and we need to build a relationship with them, right? And we need to ask for their counsel. And then as we do that, we get to sit back and we get to reap the rewards of that, right? And it's wonderful. And then, Lord willing, if we continue this process over and over and we start walking in the way of wisdom, in the way of righteousness, the fear of the Lord, other people are going to see that. And they're going to come and ask for our counsel. And we get to share the gifts that we've been given. And we get to love other people by sharing the things that we've learned. Okay? All right. I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, I want to start out, I just thank you for the gift of wisdom and knowledge that you've given to us. And that in those gifts, we can find joy and peace and freedom that we all desire so much. And I just pray for us that you'd help us to be humble and that you would place men and women in our lives that can give us good counsel and can help us to walk in the way of wisdom and the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.